Welcome to The Common Sense Show with your host, Dave Hodges. We discuss a variety of topics here, including the deep state, the New World Order, Agenda 21. There is no one, no topic beyond Dave's reach, because as you know, you can't dodge the Hodge.
Hi, everybody. This is Dave Hodges. I'm the host of The Common Sense Show, as you know. And this is the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. You have joined us at the top of our show in hour number one. And we have a terrific guest for you. We've got Kathy Rubio. And there is so much material to work through with regarding danger to America from the South. And it's not just the border. And we're going to go through that, too. But she's got a whole plethora of information. Some of this she's been an eyewitness to. Her family's been eyewitnesses to. And we're going to unpack all that. But before we go to Kathy, we need to let you know there are a couple sponsors that make this possible. What's this? Our show. Ladies and gentlemen, with the times being what they are, you will surely regret if you don't have storable food and things go to hell in a handbasket. You really need a minimum of 6 months. People recommend 2 years. We offer 70% off, 25-year shelf life, restaurant quality, no glyphosates, no GMOs, only really good storable food. How do you get yours? Go to preparewithdave.com. That's preparewithdave.com. Also, we are, I'll tell you, I just shake my head at this. Why people don't have Virtual Shield is a mystery to me. You see that Roger Stone, Alex Jones, and others like Jerome Corsi are going to probably be indicted by Robert Mueller. And why? Because they're part of the independent media telling the truth. You need to obscure your identity on the net. We can block all that for you with Virtual Shield. We can also keep the bad guys out of your computer. These prices are ridiculously low, and there are sales on top of them. How do you get yours? Go to preparewithdave.com. And one more quick note. For the best in prepping, and I do mean the best, night vision to water filtration to anything you want, Ready-Made Resources is your stop. Bob Griswold, readymaderesources.com. Well, Kathy Rubio needs no introduction to our audience. She's been a frequent guest. She's our Central American and soon to be, I think, expanded South American expert because of what's going on. And she's here to enlighten us as to the threats that we all face. Kathy, welcome to the show. I'm so glad you could join us.
Me too. There's a lot of information that we need to get out to the American people.
Oh, undoubtedly. Let's unpack it. Where do we want to start?
Well, I think we want to start with the word distraction. And this thing that's going on in D.C. right now is the largest distraction we've ever been put under. And it's to keep our eyes off of Venezuela, to keep our eyes off of South America, and what is going on in Colombia, for example. Dave, there was an explosion in Colombia today, and that explosion took place outside of the police department in Colombia, and it killed 28 police cadets and injured 68 people. It was a car bomb. Most people that would look at that and think that that is a simple attack that took place isn't so simple. This is also a part of a game that's being played so that the Colombians will have, in short term, a excuse to attack Venezuela. And the Colombians are doing that because we are providing the Colombians with $500 million a year and giving them complete carte blanche in hauling their drugs and their trafficking of arms, et cetera, everything, every sin you could imagine is coming out of there.
So what you're describing here is the classic false flag that the U.S. is helping to perpetrate with Colombia to use as an excuse to go into Venezuela?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. You said it better than me. Yeah. Distraction is the number one word that we have to keep in the front of our brain for all things that we are seeing right now. I mean, this morning, the first thing I got was a notice that Donna Brazile had tweeted this morning that it was time to assassinate Pence and Trump immediately. Now, that got removed very quickly, but not before a lady named Lejeune got a copy of it. She got a screen copy.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's been reporting on this all day. Well, if anybody thinks that that wasn't true, there was an attack today, and I'm calling it an attack because I believe it is, on the Fox News and CNBC and what was the other one here? They're all in the same building, and Pence was up there getting ready with Newt Gingrich to do a C-SPAN was the other one, to do a interview. A fire took place. It damaged. It did a lot of damage. No one was hurt, but Pence and Newt Gingrich were evacuated out of the building, as well as everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying this was an electrical fire baloney, because this did way too much smoke damage to be an electrical fire.
So you think this was an exacting an attempt on the life of Vice President Pence?
I believe it was, yeah.
But why isn't Donna Brazile under arrest right now? Because that is a crime in which you put
question.
In the print.
Good question. I mean, I was so mad when I seen that, and then now open up this just a few minutes ago about Newt Gingrich and Pence. No, it doesn't take too much to figure out what's going on here.
No, I could not agree with you more. And I just shake my head at the threats that people are getting away with. I mean, there's a law. If you threaten, even come close to threatening, the life of the president, then
that's treason.
Not only that, it's attempted murder. That's the way it reads in the statutes. That was enacted after John Kennedy was assassinated.
Yep.
And it's an automatic trigger. Secret Service or both, FBI, should be showing up, and she should be doing the perp walk in handcuffs. And see, it goes to show you who's running the FBI and who and what is running the Department of Justice.
Exactly.
There is no justice.
That's exactly right.
Now, tell someone that I'm going to shoot Nancy Pelosi between the eyes when she steps out of her limo. See how fast they show up then.
Well, Nancy Pelosi, you bring that up. I did not know till just a few minutes before you called that Nancy Pelosi's last name is D'Alessandra.
Oh, yeah, I know all about this. Yeah, go ahead and tell the audience. This is interesting.
And her father is head of a mafia. And so is Nancy. She's carrying out his orders.
Yeah, I don't know. But we can get
so
into that.
This shutdown was something that she has been ordered by her father to keep going. She can't come out of this even if she wants, because her orders are coming down from the mafia.
And you know who they're taking orders from?
Mm.
The Jesuits.
Exactly.
Yeah, Paul Preston and I have discussed this. Paul Preston is the president of the New California Movement.
Yeah.
And Paul has enlightened me as to this relationship. And I understand her brother is part of the mix, too.
Yes, he is. And then what do we have in the news this week? The Pope announces that he's the devil.
Well, first he was only for the blending of Christianity and Islam, and we gave it a new name. We called it Chrislam.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's going even further. And this is interesting. See, this isn't liberal. This is extreme right wing, as far right as you can get. The devil coming from hell, and is the Pope saying the devil's incarnated inside of him? Is that what he's intimating?
Well, pretty much. I think he's intimating that he's the Antichrist. Well, he is Antichrist of that spirit. But is he the Antichrist? No.
Well, for that to happen, though, Kathy, you know, the Revelation speaks very clearly to this. There would have to be an assassination, and he would have to appear to be dead and somehow miraculously recover before all the nonsense starts.
Well, it kind of sounds like they're going to start with Trump.
Well, I don't see him as the, well, first of all, the leader doesn't come from America, which is supposedly New Babylon.
Absolutely not.
It'll be from the Middle East. The Pope, you know, it's an interesting prospect, but I don't think the Antichrist is the Pope. I think he serves him. But
I don't believe he is either. I believe that the Antichrist comes out of Lebanon.
Or Iran. I know a lot of people think Iran.
Lebanon, but yeah, well, there's another. You bring up that country. Now we go back to Venezuela.
Okay.
And what we got, what everybody got so mad at up here was, remember I reported last time that Venezuela, it had no money and they had no food. Well, I did a little investigation, first of all, to find out that many, many humanitarian organizations were sending in food, especially China. And then the food would get to the port down there, and it went to the black market. It ended up in Colombia. So the people were not, the people were getting the food. The humanitarian organizations were doing their job. But the corruption is so heavy down in there that the Colombians went in, they bought the whole load for a little bit of money and took it back to Colombia. They're eating good, but Venezuela is not eating good. During this time, the Venezuelan government is trying to figure out how to make money. So, they sold passports, Venezuelan passports, because Venezuela was our ally for many, many years, sold Venezuelan passports to the Iranians, especially the Iranian soldiers that were selected to come up our border. And they made millions selling those passports. They got their food. They got going for how they needed to get going. The people looked at Maduro like he was a good person because he's bringing back more money, more economic things. And in the same token, we're going to have all these Iranian soldiers up our border here shortly. And I'm sure some of them are already there. But we're going to see masses and masses of people coming now. They're expecting 40,000 more in caravans.
Kathy, let me run something by you that Paul Preston told me he's learned. And I have heard the same thing from one of my sources. a lot of these caravans aren't intending to come all the way to the border. They are filled with paramilitary trained troops who are going to take down the grid and infrastructure of many parts in Mexico to try to unleash tens of millions of immigrants to crash our border out of desperation.
That's exactly right.
You have the same info.
Same info. Yep.
My goodness.
And there's 250 young men now, today, who are on their way to the border. They are already in Mexico. They're expecting them to be on that border sometime today. And one of the sources that I got today is calling on Trump, please, please, please don't ignore us, not for one more day. Get as many military down to that border in Tijuana as you can, because these guys are loaded with ammunition, and they're coming in shooting. They're going to shoot their way through.
And their country of origin is Iran?
No, the country of origin on these is Cuba and Nicaragua.
Well, I have been writing about something called the Axis of Unity, which is really kind of an offshoot of the BRICS nations. Russia and China behind it, Soros and the UN Migration Council, but Iran and Venezuela are conspiring from within Venezuela to launch these caravans. But complicit are the Cubans. There you go. There's your connection. Mm-hmm. The Nicaraguans are an ancillary member of this. Mm-hmm. And many Central American and some South American countries have strong military alliances with Russia, and Russia has provided them with military equipment. I've done articles on it.
Yep.
This is all falling into place.
And China's right there. China is right there.
Yeah,
China
Russia
has a base
behind
right in Venezuela.
Yes. We've talked about that before in a previous interview. Mm-hmm. But, where do you even start with China? I mean, they're one of the main antagonists. See, China is pissed off on a lot of different counts. They got left out of the TPP, so that's why they tried to shut down the South China Sea. Then they're being cut out of the world trade, and the U.S. is saying, no deals for you. It's petrodollar for you or nothing, and they're an oil-importing nation. The U.S. is blocking many food shipments from going into China, which is why the Chinese are working with the South African ANC to steal land from white farmers and murder them if needed, and take minerals from the land the Chinese are splitting with the South African government, as well as getting all the food. Kathy, China is really mad at us. And what we're seeing here is not surprising in the least in terms of the Chinese being an antagonist in what's going on at our border.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think I reported last time that our ships that are in the Caribbean Sea, China has them all surrounded.
Tell me the logistical location as best you know.
Well, I'd have to look at a map to be able to do this. But I did send you the information.
Yeah,
from
I've seen
a
it.
Young man called Florida Marquis, and
yes,
he's got it marked very well on that map.
Well, what I've seen with the Chinese naval presence is they're hunkered down off the east coast of Venezuela.
They are there, yes, off of Grenada. And their base is in the central part, more toward the Colombian area. Now, the FARC soldiers are already on their way here. I mean, this has been going on for years, since 2006, when I tried to report it to Governor Pawlenty, and he didn't want to hear it. Then I saw all these soldiers getting together in Honduras. Then I saw them all practicing speaking Spanish with a Nicaraguan dialect, given Nicaraguan papers, because of course we would give them asylum. That's a communist nation.
Okay, let's start at the beginning of this avenue of discussion. I have alluded, and I think proven with DEA sources going back 5 years, the existence of paramilitary training groups designed to produce a Red Dawn invasion force to hit the United States at a future date. And you are eyewitness to this, I'm not mistaken. Is that true?
Yep.
Let's process this. Let's kind of back up from what you said. Let's start at the beginning. How did you end up there? What did you see? Who's involved? And what do you know about their expectations and goals?
Well, this was in Nicaragua and in El Salvador. Mm-hmm. And I've never been any further than St. Michael's in El Salvador. So it was within that range where one paramilitary base was. And those paramilitary bases now, what they've done over the last years is combined with MS-13s and the DS-8s, the 18s. And then you knew about another group that I didn't know about, that I think started with a P.
Oh, no, you're talking about the Sanchez Paredes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're basically the Peruvian army, and they play out in all of this, as I've written about in the last week or so.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And what they are, they're the conduit between Middle East terrorists and the drug cartels. The Tucson Police Department wrote a memo back in 2006 where they talked about Hamas, Hezbollah, and all the rest of these guys who are now hooked up with the drug cartels in Arizona. And that was 13 years ago. And they tried to scrub that, but I got a screenshot, published it. And Kathy, it's so bad. It's been going on for so long. I'm sure you know, we have signs here in Arizona, down in Pinal County, which is between Maricopa County, Phoenix, basically, and Pima County, which is Tucson. And in this county, they have signs that say, don't stop, don't go here, traffickers, blah, blah, blah. And it's a warning about the cartels and the terrorists.
Mm-hmm. You know, last night there was an explosion of the pipeline in Mexico. It was a very large explosion. Many were killed. And by the time I heard about it, about 10:30 last night, they were still looking for dead, but they knew they were going to have to do it today because that fire had to burn out. Do I think that that is a false flag? I think that that is a false flag.
I think it's part of the takedown of the infrastructure that we just talked about.
Yeah, and the reason that I think it was a false flag is because they said that the cartel went in there and they tapped in, they put a tap on there, and they tapped in, and then they invited all the people from town to come and get free gas. So all these people were lined up with their cars getting free gas. Somebody lights a match, boom.
My goodness. How big is the fire? Do you have any details?
It was huge. It was a huge fire. And from what I could see of it burning, it looked to be, I mean, this is judging from a video, but I would say that it was a good 6 blocks wide. And it burned right on down. It just burned a path. So whoever was there at that tap that was lined up to get gas, they're dead. And the cartel did that. They invited them in.
How much coverage is this getting in the American mainstream media?
None.
That's what I would say, too.
None. And I'll share something else with you that I'm very, very sure is not getting covered at all here. I think I have sent you the video out today. There are two young men. One is in the United States, and he is Mexican. The other one is in Mexico. And they did a video today. And I'll tell you, the stuff that I learned off that video made me so angry. Because, you know, I told you that the last couple of weeks I had to be taken to the hospital twice by ambulance.
Yes.
And so while I'm in the hospital, I'm in such horrifying pain, and I've waited until the last very possible minute before I call an ambulance. And what I'm finding out that is our people here in whatever area that these immigrants are coming through, and there was 376 of them that just came through in tunnels the other night. They were all taken to the hospital. Even if they have a sniffle, they're all taken to the hospital. And the people that are in the hospitals that live in the United States, they are made to wait while the immigrants are seen first. Now, I understand why this is happening, because you don't know what diseases they got. You got to get them in and get them away from the other people.
Right.
So, but had that happened to me, I would have died this last time around. I couldn't wait.
Let me give you my suspicion and have you elaborate on it.
Uh-huh.
Are they bringing in a pandemic?
That I don't know. What I do know is that right now, every immigrant that's seen in the hospital is roughly being charged $30,000 it's costing for every immigrant that we take to the hospital, with all the tests they run, with everything they're doing to try and find out if there is a pandemic. Now, $30,000 is going to break most hospitals very quickly. Couple patients, and they have no insurance, so the hospital has to swallow the bill. So therefore, they destroy our infrastructure. And they haven't even been accepted in as asylum cases yet.
Well, there's another aspect of this. You see, the hospitals pick up the tab, but they're eligible.
That's what I'm saying. They're going to go broke.
But no, they're eligible for reimbursement from the federal government. We're paying for it. You and I are paying for it.
That's a big trick, because the federal government's closed.
Oh, boy.
See?
I just made a brain-dead connection. Sorry, I'm a step late.
Now you got it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, what a brilliant move. Dastardly, yep. Of course, but it's very intelligent a way to approach this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll tell you, Kathy, they do bring in a pandemic. My vote is for Ebola, because a lot of people don't know this. The CDC and associated interests of the CDC own everything connected to Ebola, from the disease, anything named Ebola, and the treatment, and any research associated with it. They own the patent.
Jeez.
They'll make money on this. I did articles on this, oh gosh, I think, 2015, and a couple doctors told me where to look. Says, Dave, go look at this. Look at Crusell Laboratories and what they're doing for the CDC. Oh, my goodness. And I found the patent, and I published it on the Common Sense Show.
Oh, my God. I'll tell you, there's so much corruption that a person's head just wants to split open.
You see, we made a big deal about Pelosi's mafia connections at the top of this hour.
Yeah.
But there's no difference between her and what the CDC does.
No. And look who's the head of the CDC.
Talk about
it. Isn't that Rosenstein's wife?
No, she's with... Well, let me back up. She is kind of like the jack of all trades. I've written about her, Lisa Barsoomian. And she is the shot blocker for FOIA requests, Freedom of Information requests from the FBI.
But, okay, so she, I knew it was connected somehow.
But so she can't be pursued and FOIA'd for what she has on her public email. She doesn't use an FBI or DOJ email to throw people off. She uses a National Institute of Health, NIH, email. And I heard they weren't too happy when I published that. I'm saying, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to violate your trust. But the reality is this woman is as dirty as her husband. They're both deep state. In fact, Barsoomian, this is really interesting to me. She's represented Bill and Hillary together and separately 65 times. She's a deep state lawyer. Do you remember that movie with Tom Cruise called The Firm, and he accidentally went to work for a bunch of mafia organizations masquerading as a law firm? Well, that's what Barsoomian is. That's exactly what she is.
God. We're in such trouble.
She is total mafia. Total.
Well, now I'm going to ask you a question. Knowing how much trouble we're in with all the stuff that's going on, Dave, how do we get out of all this?
If I'm being totally honest, I don't think you're going to like my answer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
I want to see if it's the same as mine.
I never advocate for violence on this show, but I report facts as they are. Yep. Kathy, the only answer to this is there's going to be a civil war, and there's going to be a civil war no matter which side prevails.
Yep, I agree.
The deep state, let me give you an example. Again, Paul Preston, myself, others, a DHS person I talked to recently, we all know about the dams in Northern California. There's plans to bring them all down. Jerry Brown had brought in Bruce Babbitt, former Secretary of the Interior, to look at that problem. And they basically want to kill agriculture in Northern California, which will have a huge dent on the country, and actually some of the world, too. There'll be famine and shortages in spot locations if this happens. And the first person that told me about this, Kathy, was a lady named Barb Peterson, who went from a retired San Quentin guard, the first female San Quentin guard at that prison. And she knew about this. And she said this on my show, and gosh, it's probably been, 8 or 9 years. And people didn't want to listen then. They, oh, that's a crazy conspiracy theory. And now we know it's true. And we know that Jerry Brown had designs on bringing down the dams and what they were going to do with the land. Well, nothing would have grown except for algae for 2 years. Hello, new algae, the biofuel, Al Gore and friends.
Mm-hmm. But also fertilizer.
A lot of the land would have recovered if you don't enhance it and gone back to normal in a few years. And Richard Bloom, who is the husband of Diane, I have a Chinese spy working for me for 20 years, Feinstein. He is selling off California farmland to the Chinese, and they're taking food out of California now, and the plan was to greatly expand that if the dams were brought down. How do you like them apples?
Yep. And there was a man on YouTube. He's been prophesying that for a long time, that dam was going to be brought down.
Well, not just Oroville. I think there are a dozen of them, if I'm not mistaken, 10 to 12.
He was talking about the Hoover Dam.
Yeah, different environment.
Yeah.
Different plan. That's more of a, well, see, what I'm saying here is the deep state will stop at nothing even if they're defeated. They will enact all these doomsday projects and scenarios. I mean, nothing it will they will stop short of nothing. Their attitude will be like, if we can't control the country, no one's going to have the country. Mass casualties are in their game plan. At the Calexit meetings, which was the plan to have California exit the United States, Paul Preston had an embedded source at their meetings. And we're talking, this is George Soros, the Bank of China, the Sasakawa crime family, and you had the cartels, the Mexican consulate at the time. This is going back to 2016. And they had all these nefarious groups. Obama had three representatives there. And they, the cartel said, if we can't get our way and get Calexit and have it work and get out of the country, which would collapse our economy, basically, that we will enact mass violence against white people. And we'll do so under the guise of a border invasion. Well, what's happening now?
Yep. Yep. I am trying to find this report that I did. Maybe I'll find it for the second half.
Okay.
Because it's all about what's going on in Mexico and the Chiapas. And I remember I touched on that last time, that the cartel was in there and they were going door to door. And they were shooting the men of the house, raping the women of the house, and then taking their homes and their property. Well, since that time, the Americans decided they had to get in there and help. So that's what I want to report on. I got to find these notes.
Okay, well, we can certainly get to that in the second hour, Kathy. There's no rush on that. And listen, the audience should know that you have been very, very ill, as you alluded to. But this is recent. This is like a few weeks ago, and Kathy's had all this time to convalesce. That's not the case.
No, I had very little time to convalesce. But that's okay. I mean, the doctors were very, very good. God was very, very good. And I'm good.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. I have to say, I'm glad I live in the area I live in because they still have a conscience around here.
Well, you live in the heart of MS-13, though.
Yes, I do.
Out there in Minnesota? You absolutely do.
And I'm also in the heart of the Islamics. They all live right behind me.
Well, ultimately, they're going to work for the same people.
Yes.
It's all part of the same invasion force.
Well, that's why I have my tasers at each door.
Are your doors booby-trapped?
No, I'm working on a way to do that now, so they can't just bust them in. But, you know, I'm on first floor, and they can come in my windows. They can come in anywhere. So I got a taser everywhere I am. Okay. If they're coming in here, they're going to get lit up.
Well, I think at the end of the day, well, let me back up. I mean, you know about the supposed persecution of Alex Jones, Roger Stone, and now Jerome Corsi has been named.
Yeah.
Do you think that we're all at risk in the independent media?
Absolutely. Absolutely. If we hit on anything that is going to destroy them, that they have not already let out, if we start telling those kinds of secrets, then we're going to go to the head of the list. And look at how many journalists are already dead.
Yeah, I mentioned that in a broadcast I did recently where I said, oh, you don't think this is true? Really? Well, talk to me about Michael Hastings and Andrew Breitbart.
Yeah. You know, I had the fortune of having lunch with Michael Hastings in Nicaragua when I was down there. He was down there doing a story on what we call the Internationalistas. And those are what I refer to as pseudo-intellectuals who do not fit into the normal society of things here. So the government uses them, sends them in, gets both sides fighting against each other, arms both sides, trains both sides, and then moves on to the next country when they got them fighting. Well, I happened to be having lunch in a restaurant. I didn't even realize for maybe a year after Michael Hastings was killed, somebody sent me his picture, and I realized that I had had lunch with him. I didn't even realize it that night. I guess we never exchanged names. We just joined each other at the table because we were Americans.
Interesting. It's Yeah, well, he was into a lot of stuff, and he made a lot of enemies. And I've always had trouble figuring out, you know, who was behind his demise, but because he had made so many enemies. Because he was a good reporter. You know, it's funny, too. They got to his wife. I saw an interview with her, and I think they were living in San Diego, and I saw something on a local San Diego station when I was out there. And she was depressed and angry and looks like she was ready to spill the beans. And like 3 days later, I saw another interview with her. I was back home. It was a national televised interview. And she was, how do I say this? Almost indifferent to the event.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not minimizing anyone's grief, but I understand affect and emotion. And Kathy, it just didn't match up.
No. Nope.
I've always suspected they got to her and her family. And that's something I wanted to talk to you about, too, with regard to the border. Trump is dragging his feet.
Yeah.
The time for negotiation is over. Pelosi has ended the negotiations, not Trump. Therefore, why isn't Trump further fortifying the border and declaring a national emergency, which is in effect de facto martial law?
That's been my question, too, because, you know, the American people have collected $20,700,000+ toward building the wall. And when we wanted to donate that money to the government, we found out that we had to do it through Chuck Schumer.
Oh, Joe.
And he refused to take it. So that means, how are you going to get around this? Well, you know, Brian, the young man who started all this, he's very intelligent, very wise man. And he came up with the idea that we're going to talk to the ranchers that live on the border.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to ask them for permission to build right on there. And we, the American people, will build that wall.
Mm-hmm.
At least as much of it as we can for $20 million.
And mark my word, here comes the BLM. Here comes the EPA.
Yep.
You can't build that wall because you're killing an ant.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't doubt that. But that's all right. That might be where your war gets started.
I'm surprised there hasn't been more shooting on the border with the farmers and the ranchers.
Well, I got a theory about that because I've been keeping an eye on the one particular group down on that Texas border and of militia that have been in there for many, many months now. And they keep running into problems on that border, and they run into kids being left dead in the roads and new roads being built in there, and just a mirage of things. And one particular day, they were dealing with a rancher, a particular rancher in the area of El Paso, I believe it was. And this rancher got mad at the militia because they wanted to help him. And he chased him out of there, and then it dawned on me, you know what? I bet these ranchers are making money.
You mean they're being paid by the cartels?
Sure.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Sure.
That makes an awful lot of sense, Kathy. That's I hadn't considered that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't want to lose what they're making either. If they just let them go through their property, see?
Interesting. So they pay a passage fee.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
And I can hear how the discussion goes. You can take our money or you can take our bullets.
Mm-hmm.
And it's for sure that this probably happened under Obama. And it's certain that Obama wouldn't have done anything to protect these people.
Yeah, absolutely. And why Texas? Well, because there's no wall of any kind up there. There's a little fence, and that's it. And that's just made out of barbed wire, just like as if you were for your animals, you know. So they just go right through that. Matter of fact, when Trump went down there, the military came along and they put some kind of fencing. I don't even know how to describe it. It kind of looks like the turnkey doors that you have going into the prisons.
What do you make of that?
Well, I don't understand it because you just walk right over it. It does nothing. As if you took the turnkey doors and you laid them down on their side. That's what it looks like. It means nothing. It does nothing. Matter of fact, the cartel built a road right alongside that fence so they could bring in trucks, and I'm talking semis, loaded with these people, so they could just go right across the El Paso border. El Paso is getting overloaded. They don't know how to handle all of them that they got in there anymore, and that's part of the report that I'm going to do the second part of our
interview. Well, that things have shifted at the border, although there are militias down there that are actually trying to apprehend the drug dealers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking private independent militias. I've had contact with some of them, and they won't come on my show because they don't want exposure. Oh. They fear federal government interference.
Oh, well, I know one that will come on your show. He'll be on mine Monday.
Well, please put us together.
Commander John.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he's with a militia in New Mexico, which New Mexico doesn't have a fence of any kind, and the governor of New Mexico will not let the military go in there because her last name is Martinez, and she's a Trump hater. So
I don't think that's a given anymore. Before you continue, let me just cut in with this. There's a new poll out. I don't know if you've seen it, but Hispanic approval ratings of Donald Trump have gone up 20%.
But not with this woman.
Okay, well, I understand.
She won't let the military or anything in there. So 60 militiamen have gone down there through Commander John. And he's calling out for 1,000 more. He needs 1,000 more down on that border. So, yes, he'd be happy to go on your show.
Oh, I'd love to have him.
Yeah.
Absolutely would love to. But do you agree with my assertion, and we certainly can explore this in more detail in the next hour, but do you agree with me that civil war is the final stepping, well, the final stop for this conflict?
I don't even think it's that far away, because when I learned this morning of the threat against against Trump and Pence, and then I learned about the fire, I immediately called the three percenters. And I think that they might be heading toward D.C. Very, very soon.
Well, that's a whole nother scenario, too.
Yep.
And that's, I don't know if you know where I'm going with this, but do you know about the 37,000 ex-ARSOF, ex-soldiers, ex-military contractors that are sworn to do what they got to do to preserve the Republic?
Yep.
You know about them?
Yep.
Well, we're going to have to explore that on the other side.
The white hats are resurfacing now, too.
Yeah, I saw that. You know, and I also want to get into QAnon with you a little bit on the other side. I need to be convinced, and I mean, it's going to take a lot of convincing there. And I want to go back a little bit more to the paramilitary camps and what you saw regarding, and I'm talking in Honduras and particularly El Salvador, what you saw as far as who was participating and who was training. I mean, well, you and I have talked about this. And I think it's good to get it out there. I think it's really, really important that we explore this. Well, anyway, we're joined by, that didn't go down well. We're joined by Kathy Rubio. And Kathy is a well-respected researcher. She's just coming off a major illness, and God bless her for being willing to come on here and brave the elements, so to speak. And we're going to be back in hour number two with more stunning revelations. I'm going to tell you, the revelations are going to be much more stunning in hour number two. Stay with us, everybody. We will see you on the other side.